integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today I want to take us to a very simple, non-controversial issue. What should we think about music in the church? Oh, wow. It's actually quite controversial. So many people have so many opinions about that. And even when we think of how important such things are in the church, it can be so controversial. But what I want to ask is it a deal breaker? Is this a big enough deal that you should have your family in a church that matches up with what you think about music rather than what they're doing with music? Oh, wow. Well, before we get into the answers, let's consider how much variety there can be in the way churches do music. First, let's consider style. Well, there can be lots of different styles. What instruments are being used? It can be very simple. Could be just a piano, just an organ. I've had many times with both of those. Could be just a guitar. Very simple instruments, you know, almost in the background. But of course, you can also have the very big, powerful organist who dominates as well, just with an organ. Obviously, there's some churches that have no instruments at all. And you think, wow, that's kind of strange. The segment of churches today that have no instruments, there's not a whole lot of those. But you know, there is a historic precedent to that. I believe it was John Calvin's church had no instruments. Wow, John Calvin, you know, so they're bringing the Reformation to Geneva, but he forgot his banjo, I guess, or whatever he would have used, maybe an accordion because he was a French guy, you know, right? Anyway, they had no instruments. And so there is historic precedence. They said, oh yeah, the instruments were part of the old covenant and they're not part of the new covenant. Oh, really? Wow, well, that's different. Well, of course, there's all kinds of other styles as well. You can have almost a jazz band style. You can have a full orchestra. You can have kind of a country western vibe. I mean, there's whole churches called cowboy churches, and I think you're out on the plains there. You're having your music done that way, and of course, many versions of contemporary bands of different kinds and different instruments that are used. Well, in addition to the stylistic differences, there's also major differences from church to church in terms of the content of what people sing. Of course, there's churches that are exclusively singing the Psalms. You know, this is God's hymn book, and we're going to sing from that. Of course, we're sometimes singing contemporary versions of that, but we are singing that. There are churches that have a high rotation of psalms. There are churches that say that's the only thing that we're going to be singing. Of course, even when it comes to hymns, there's a spectrum there as well, from really old, historic, kind of classic, substantive hymns. But there's a whole genre of gospel songs that fill up a lot of hymn books, but they're almost their own little animal. And some churches do all that and think of themselves as, we, of course, only sing the good old-fashioned hymns. Some churches, you pretty much just turn on your contemporary Christian radio station, and they're just trying to be with the latest and greatest stuff that you would have heard on the radio. And of course, there are modern hymns written by people like Keith Getty and his circle, and Sovereign Grace Music, Bob Coughlin and his circle. And they have filled up churches and auditoriums with people singing their songs as well. So what do we think about this? How should we think about music in the church. And I want to say it's not the main thing, but it is a thing. My family has had a habit when we're on vacation of visiting other churches. That was put to me years ago by a pastor friend. He says, I think you should do that. And we try to do that. And so we've made it a habit, and it's been a great blessing to our family. But I have to say, there are some churches we visited that I'm like, I'm happy to be visiting here, but I don't know that I would like this music week after week for whatever reason, because we've experienced the whole gamut of ways churches do music. So we want to say it's not the main thing, but it is a thing. It is important. But let's start where we need to start. That our music is really about worship. God is great, and God is worthy of our praises. Some people say, we praise God for his character, and we thank God for his works. But you know, I can show you a lot of Psalms where the psalmist thanks God for his character and praises God for his works. But for our purposes, what we need to know is God is great, and he is worthy of our worship. And hopefully, whether it be something great God has done, something great God is doing, or just his character, you have a response of, wow, wow. I think that that is a very appropriate word for worship. Wow. God is glorious. God is so faithful. God is so kind. Wow. That is an expression of our heart. That is worship. I love what Jesus said to the woman at the well. She was Jesus was kind of poking and showing her her sin as he was interacting with her. And she sort of seems to shift gears and says, our fathers worshiped on this mountain. I'm in John chapter 4, verse 20. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, of course, in Samaria, they had a mountain. They had their own temple on Mount Gerizim in the middle of modern-day Israel, near the modern city of Nablus, is where you'd find Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. They had their own temple, and they said, we think you should worship here. You Jews, you worship, of course, in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus says, hey, it's not really about where we are. It's about what's going on in our hearts. We see that the Father is seeking true worshipers, and rightly so, because God is worthy of our worship and praise. But we also see that the formula Jesus expresses here is true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth. Well, I think that corresponds to the way we talk about head and heart. Now, of course, biblically, that's not exactly right, because as a man thinks within his heart, so is he. The heart, biblically, includes the mind, the will, and the emotions. But in terms of our common way of expressing things, we think of the head as the intellect and the heart as the place of emotions or passions. And so I do think that corresponds with what Jesus was expressing to the woman at the well, that we need to know the truth about God as revealed in Scripture, and we need to respond with passion. It's not enough for us to have precise doctrine about God and say, oh yes, I have 10 points of theology about God that are absolutely right and true, and I can express those with precision, and now I'm done. I have worshiped. I don't think that's what the Father is looking for. We've already seen that the Father is looking for true worshipers, but he is looking for the head and the heart, right? He is looking for you, yes, to have your theology right. Yes, it does start with how God reveals himself in Scripture, but then comes the passion. Then comes the response. God has made us holistic people with mind, with will, with emotions. We dare not just think of the emotions as the caboose, the add-on. Get your thinking straight and the caboose will follow along. Well, there's a sense in which that's true, but also our passions fuel us and motivate us to think more deeply and respond more deeply to God. And so it all goes together. We are holistic beings, mind, will, emotions, body, spirit, all together, all dedicated to the worship of our great God. And we should be worshiping God all the time. Now, we have to take a break, but when we come back, we want to think about that. We're worshiping God individually all the time. And how does that relate to our corporate worship with our church family? And how does that relate to the music in our church? So let's take a break and we'll come back and think more about music in the church, that non-controversial issue.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. And you know, thinking about church music, it could be the only topic that makes theology nerds and soccer moms equally as passionate. Not that soccer moms can't be theology nerds and vice versa, but if you're trying to think biblically about worship, then I want to recommend you check out The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges. Dr. Bridges actually shows how things like worship and devotion to God actually change who we are from the inside out. He tackles real stuff like commitment and joy and self-control. You know, all of that fruit of the Spirit that we tend to struggle with. It's The Practice of Godliness, and it's by Dr. Jerry Bridges, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And while we're talking about good content like The Practice of Godliness, have you downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet? I know you probably don't think you need another app on your phone taking up space or that you might have to pay a monthly subscription for, but you're not going to get that with Fortis Plus. It's never going to be a subscription model. It's free. It's absolutely free, and it won't take up too much space on your phone. As a matter of fact, if you're running low for space on your phone, you probably want to delete something else to make room for Fortis Plus. Like I said, it's absolutely free. We're not going to bug you for money later or anything like that. And it's chock full of hundreds of hours of content, and 7 new posts are added every single day. Videos, podcasts, hot takes, all kinds of stuff added every day that will help you as you try to navigate this crazy, brave new world that we're living in. Fortis Plus, absolutely free of charge. And if you want to stay in the loop with everything Fortis, I also recommend becoming a Fortis Insider. We send emails 5 days a week to your inbox with all of the content that we've posted for that day. Like I said, 7 new posts every day. You'll get an email if you're a Fortis Insider. Plus, you're going to find out first about sales that we're having in the Fortis store. You'll get private invitations to filming opportunities that we have several times a year. So it's worth being a Fortis Insider, and you can only sign up at fortisinstitute.org. That's also free. And while we love giving stuff away, we cannot continue to do this without solid partners who get and understand what it is we're trying to do. We're living in some pretty wild times, like I said, and solid teaching is harder and harder to find. And that's why Fortis Institute now exists. And to continue existing in the manner in which we are, we would love for you to join us as a gospel partner. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today we are solving the issue of music in the church. That's a good goal for us, isn't it? No, we're just talking about it. How important is this? Is this a deal breaker when it comes to where we worship as a family in church? We ended our first segment by considering the fact that we should all be worshiping all the time. Listen to the Bible, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, there's so much in that. We want to consider that concept of being a living sacrifice. All of your life should be devoted to our great God. And it's like our whole life is poured out as an offering of worship. There are other verses that give us some indication that life is about worship. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Our whole life should be giving not animal sacrifices, those have been fulfilled in Jesus, but the sacrifice of praise. Praise to our great God, for he is worthy of it. Listen to the words of James chapter 5, verse 13, which just simply says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." May it be that God's people are singing God's praises all day, every day, in our hearts, if not out loud, all the time. We should always be about worship, but there is something so special about worshiping together. That's what we're able to do at church that we're not able to do individually. How great is it when you know your brother or sister is going through it, but you look across the pew, across the aisle, and you see them singing out with a heart full of joy. Well, that changes the way you sing. That blesses your heart. That lifts your heart. Yes, God has sustained them in this trial, and he is worthy of the praise. Yes, that person that's been out of a job, that's looked to God to provide, is singing, "Great is thy faithfulness," and I'm right there. I'm there for them. I'm there with them. We are holding each other up as a church family. We are all saved by the same work of Jesus. We are all side by side, shoulder to shoulder at the church, singing the praises of our Savior together. How great is that? There are even references to the fact that not only are we singing to God, but we are singing to each other. In the section that talks about being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, one of the fruits of being filled with the Spirit is addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. And of course, Colossians is a little bit of a parallel book with Ephesians. There's a lot of overlap. And in Colossians chapter 3, as he talks about letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, verse 16, one of the fruits of that is, in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, yes, one of the things we do together is to sing. Now, people have pointed out that the Greek words that are included in making melody here, it probably means instruments. And of course, we see a lot of instrumentation in the Old Covenant. I love Psalm 150, the last of the Psalms. Listen to all the different instruments. As he says in verse 3, "Praise him with the trumpet sound, praise him with the lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with sounding cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Some people might say, well, you know, God is such a great God, we need to worship in sobriety, and we need to worship quietly and reverently. Yeah, that's true, but it's also true that our great God is awesome, and he should be praised with sounding cymbals, with loud clashing cymbals. Our God deserves a full heart expressed in full volume. and our singing and instruments as well. Music helps us. God reveals himself in Scripture. That's how we know his character and his ways. And we are to respond to that. And we are to respond emotionally. And I want to say that music is a gift from God to express the truth emotionally, passionately. And the instruments should support that and help that. You might say, well, I get it that instruments can be a little bit of it can capture our expression. But I want to say it's not just capturing our passion, it also creates our passion. And music with instruments done rightly actually motivates and inspires appropriate greater passion. So you can see how the instruments are very important. You know, there's even some old gospel songs and gospel hymns, and you hear them and the way they're written, even in hymn books, it kind of comes across a little bit like a circus carnival. And we're singing about, I was sinking deep in sin, you know, and you're like, huh, all right, I know we're getting to the cleansing and that's good, but the music doesn't always go with the words, but that's important because the music helps create the bright passions. Have you ever seen those video clips of famous movie scenes without the orchestration? And you go, what a clunker. There's no emotion in that. But I remember when I watched it in the theater, I was filled with emotion at that scene. Well, the music helps our emotions as well as expresses our emotions. And don't ever underestimate that. So what do we think? I think we need the right styles of music, and it can be a variety because the Bible has a variety of things it teaches us about God. Some people say, well, I don't like those lament songs. I don't like those minor key songs. Let's just do the happy clappy ones. Well, look at the book of Psalms, brother. Look at the book of Psalms, sister. We have a variety of expressions, and I think that our worship as a congregation is filled with people praising and worshiping in a variety of situations in life. And so there should be some variety of styles, variety of songs, variety of content to match up with how the scripture matches up. Now, because our music is congregational, that's a very big deal. I think that it's appropriate to say the music and the instrument should never overwhelm the congregation. I have been to churches where the music is so loud so often, you can't hear anybody. It's like you're at a concert. You look around and you can see mouths moving. Although, do you see the mouths moving when you can't hear anybody? I look around and see people just standing there enjoying the show up front. But instead, it's the congregation, it's God's people singing to one another. So we need to be able to hear one another. So turn that music down so that we can hear the voices of God's people. It's great to have song leaders, but don't make it all about the song leaders. They're the ones provoking us to do the singing together. So that's important. Pastors, be involved in the selection of the songs and make sure that the truth is driving the corporate worship. Don't let it just be a skilled musician catering to the crowd. And we need to show love to the body of Christ. If all you sing at your church are songs you like, then you're probably leaving somebody out. What about that old brother or sister that goes to heaven when we sing that good old gospel song? Do you ever sing that good old gospel? Oh, well, I like better, more intense lyrics. Yeah, but do you love your brother and sister that goes to heaven? Can you not sometimes mix in the songs they like? Don't make it all about your own preference. And finally, let me just say, be patient. Where's your church? Where is it going? Look at the trajectory. Don't just look at whether or not you agree with or like where it is this moment. If the preaching of God's word is there, if the people are godly and growing, and the music isn't quite where you'd want it to be, but it's headed the right direction, hang in there. Be an encouragement. Don't be a contrarian and a critic all the time. Let's put the truth of God to work in our lives. And we will see you next time on Integrated.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.